Good afternoon, everybody, or good evening. My name is Dr. James Covington, and I co-lead the Warwick Engineering Biomedicine theme in the School of Engineering. Okay, so my talk is going to cover three general topics. The first thing is some discussion about why I'm bothering to do this in the first place. Basically, some comments about what smell is, and I'm hoping by the end of it to explain how we make a machine sniff. All of our work is to do with point of care technologies. Okay, when you go to the doctors or you go to the hospitals, you've got about a 5 to 10 minute slot with your clinician. And as someone who's recently been to the hospital for various repair work, you want the clinician to make your diagnosis and find out as much as you can in that 10 minutes. And therefore, what we need to do is provide him with the tools to do this, to make an accurate diagnosis in that 10 minutes. So you want something which is rapid, you want something that the patient is going to accept. Low cost is always nice, the NHS quite likes that. Simple, I know what medics are like. And you want something for things like the hospital, maybe GPs, you want something maybe to take home with you. And if you can make it reliable, and if you can make it cheap enough, maybe you can use the same technology in third world countries. Okay? And my take on this is to use kind of smell-based technologies. So I'm looking at kind of using smell as a point of care technology. So what are we basically doing? Okay, so we get a biological output. Our case, predominantly, it's urine samples, but it could be sweat. It could be breath, it could be blood, it could be something that's slightly unmentionable, especially since it's dinner soon. And we put these together and we sniff it. Okay, so do you know how hard it was to find that image? So this isn't really as crazy as you think. So if you hear in the news, like on almost a weekly basis, that some dog has detected a lung cancer in a patient. And if you actually think back to what medicine was, say, 100 years ago, sniffing the patient was the big deal. This is how you aided in the clinical process. So it's not totally as crazy as you think it is. The other problem we've got, of course, is that I'm sure that Tim would allow me to have lots of money, but I don't know how much George W. cost to get over from the US and to sniff our urine samples for us. You can also get into a lot of trouble by asking your PhD students to sniff urine samples. And therefore, we've had to use kind of machine ways of doing this. So, I wanted to kind of say something about smell before I kind of move on to talking about technology. Here is a list of chemicals. How many chemists are in the room? Tim, okay. Tim, could you, from that list of chemicals, could you tell me what the smell that is?
No.
No. Any ideas? Fair drops. Actually, that's not bad. Anybody else? No? Any idea, David?
No idea.
It's a strawberry. Okay, so the point I'm trying to make here is that us, as humans, do not represent smell as from individual molecules. We don't say, oh yes, I can smell some cis-3 hexanol in my strawberry, or things like that. We don't. We represent, or we perceive smell as a whole, as a whole chemical signature. And as a quick thing about my batting for smell, it is the single biggest, your smell receptors are your single biggest section of your gene group. So 1 to 2% of your DNA is given over just to smell receptors. Not many people recognize that. So what we have to do is we're going to try and learn from the biological system, because we don't want to be doing this regularly. We want to get some form of machine when we want to put them together. And I'll be impressed if anybody can remember where I took that image from. And create an artificial sniffer. Okay, so if we think about what's in our human biological system, we've got to find a way of copying it. So we have some sensors, which are olfactory receptors, which are in fact brain cells. So you actually sniff with your brain, which is in the top of your nose. And they're kind of dendrites just dangle down, and these are your receptors. We need some way of interpreting signals from our senses, and we need to find some way of identifying, or it smells something, what is it? We need to find a way of identifying that. The hardest bit, as is normal, is actually the sensors. So on artificial systems, how do we make machine sniff is that we start out with an array of chemical sensors. Here I have six. You know they're different because I've coloured them in different colours. So each sensor is different in some way, but they're not sensitive to one chemical only. These are broadly tuned chemicals. So we get an array of, say, six sensors whose some property changes when you expose it to a sample. So maybe it's resistance, it's frequency, some optical property. We then get a complex smell and we expose it to the sensors. Now, each sensor is different, so its response to that complex odour will be different. And therefore, you can create a unique pattern associated with that smell. If you change what you expose it to, you get a different pattern. And the idea is that if you gave the same sensors the same smell at a later date, it would say, ah, yes, I can smell strawberries. But on the medical side, if you gave it a urine sample, which has had a specific disease, and that you've trained it to recognise that disease, you hope that it would recognise it again when you expose it to it. So, little bit promotion, why Warwick? The kind of way that I got into this is that my background is actually making gas phase sensors. So Warwick is very strong at making sensors for detecting environmental pollutants, etc. Has anybody recently bought a BMW? No? I was at a recent conference, and BMW was saying, look at these great sensors that I've just added to my cars, and I thought, that's mine. Yes, so basically our sensor technology has made it to the Germans. We have extraordinary skills in materials. So not just me, a lot of the departments can create novel sensor materials. You've got to sense something that's in urine samples or in breath or something, and we're very strong in that. We're also good at making very low-cost sensors. So we can make very cheap sensors and we can add value added. So we can add electronics and things like that. And there is also a level of being very industrial focused. Does anybody remember what this is? It is the Aibo dog. I spent some of my youth trying to make the Aibo dog recognize owners by smell. That's my part of my misspent youth. Don't worry, this does make sense. I have brought, so unfortunately, not very excitingly, some sensors. So I thought I'd show them around. So I didn't have videos. So I'll bring some sensors around. There you go, you can have a look at those. So you can see some little dots as they come round, and there's basically rays of chemical sensors in the middle of those. So what else can we do? Well, we've got sensors, and now we have to make a microsystem, olfactory microsystem. So we get our sensor array, and we can also make some really cool plastic stuff. So here is a microfluidic system that we can attach to the top of an array. So we've got filters, we've got flow sensors, we've got channels, we've got detectors that we can integrate with it to make these microstructures. And because we can, we made one in Warwick blue. And I'd like to put, I obviously put an embarrassing photograph of myself on there. So here's a microfluidic system which composed of, adds the two together. And I have that in here. So if I'm going to, oh dear. I'm going to send that way. There you go, if you can take that and hand it around. So we can create these types of instruments. Okay, so what have we been doing on the medical front? I'm pleased that my medical collaborator, main one, has finally managed to make it. Thank you. So the big thing that we're working on is inflammatory bowel disease. Okay, so these are things like Crohn's and colitis. In the UK, it's about 1 in 250 has either Crohn's or colitis, about 180,000 people in the UK, and it's really unpleasant. It's long-term, it's ongoing, and for health and safety, it's non-infectious. So you have things like diarrhea, you have abdominal pain, bowel frequency, etc. And because I thought it's a medical talk, I'd put some nice photographs as well. So this is what your colon should look like. And that's what a diseased colon looks like. Okay, but unfortunately, what you don't want to do is have my medical colleague walking towards you with rubber gloves on and a purposeful look to find this out. So you want a machine to be able to do this in a more patient-friendly way to detect these. In fact, IBD is very difficult to diagnose when compared to things like IBS or the difference between Crohn's and colitis. And so our kind of main focus is actually looking at ways of diagnosing these diseases and then looking at long-term monitoring and helping with treatment. And I put a picture of my colleague in there as well. And I brought an electronic nose. I just thought I'd do that as well. I would like these back, by the way, at the end of the day. So if you can pass that way and then round. So that's the kind of thing we do. That's actually a commercial instrument, but we helped develop it, so I thought I'd bring it. So just because I thought I could, here's a kind of a statistical analysis. It's very difficult when you're doing diagnostics to have nice pictures for people. So this is basically a statistical analysis from different disease groups. So each dot is either a patient or a control group. And we've run urine headspace from each of these people through one of our electron nose systems. And this is just a graphical representation to show that we're able to separate Crohn's disease, colitis from normals and flare groups. So that's quite good. So what are the possibilities? Well, actually, smell technology has already been used in all sorts of areas. So ENT, lung cancer, gastro diseases, bacterial infections, wound infections, etc. For us, these are kind of things that we're working on. So things like diabetes as well, obesity, colon cancer, and we've done some work on radiotherapy as well. Maybe the future? I don't know. There's some ideas. Maybe probiotics, infectious diseases. It's really kind of up to the medic community to come to us as well with problems that we can try and help people with. So kind of some concluding remarks. Well, I think Warwick is pretty good on smell technology, and I think it's got real opportunities for the future. Can we make it for $1,000? Can we make it for $100? At these kind of prices, you've got a chance of getting it widely distributed. At $1,000, maybe you can get one in every GP. At $100, you could maybe get one in every third world country. Don't know. You know, is it disruptive? It's very different to a normal medical profession. I just wanted to put this slide up. In fact, Professor Dale turned up, which I got this image off his website last night. So it's not just me doing sensors. Warwick is a real depth and strength in sensors. Professor Dale is doing biosensors. Professor Scrivens, etc., doing things like I'm doing. So watch this space. And finally, one of my collaborators, Professor Barden, OBE, was taking one of our first samples. He was so happy that I thought I'd have to include him. I thought I'd put a list of my collaborators. Ramesh, who's in the corner over there, is my main medical collaborator. Would you like to wave? Thank you. So people from UHCW, Rotherham, Royal Marsden, Monash, etc., my students, and in fact, one of them actually turned up. I couldn't believe it. And obviously my charity funders. And I shall leave you with that. Thank you very much.